Thanks, guys. Go to Romans, please, the sixth chapter, if you would. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we are calling, anybody know what we're calling it? Free from sin. Now, nowadays, if you say sin, people go, ooh, that's harsh. Sin is a Bible word.
Yes, it is.
And it is in the Bible a lot.
That's right.
And sin is why the earth is cursed today. And it's why things, including human beings, die. If there had never been any sin, there wouldn't be any curse. There'd never been any lack, never been any war,
right.
Never been any sickness, never been any death.
Yeah.
It's because of sin. And sin is why Jesus had to come and had to go to the cross, where he was made sin with our sin, so that we could be made righteous with his righteousness. What a deal. Huh? What a trade. And you'll find that the revelation of our deliverance from sin is what some people call the Pauline revelation that God gave through Paul, that you'll see in Romans and the epistles to the Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, that kind of thing. It is the gospel. The gospel is much more than some people think.
Okay.
It's the word gospel means good news. Now, are y'all awake?
Yes.
Jesus going to the cross and dying on the cross is not good news. If it ended there, are y'all with me?
Yes.
Then that's failure, loss, death. But it didn't end there.
Yes.
I said it didn't end there.
Yes, right.
Why did he do it? It wasn't for him. He had no sin.
Right.
So why did he do it? So what did it accomplish for us? Here's the good news. Huh? What it accomplished for us, not just the cross, but the scourging, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascending on high, and being set down at the right hand of majesty, where he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Good news. Best news you could ever hear. Well, a big part of this good news is that we, even though we're in this curse-filled, sin-filled place, we are no longer under the dominion of sin.
Amen.
In Romans 6, are you there? Romans 6 and 1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, why would he ask this question? You don't have to look around far today, right? There's a lot of talk about grace today. A lot of churches have renamed themselves as grace this or that. And grace is one of the greatest things you could talk about.
Right.
It is. But does grace mean you shouldn't even think about sin anymore?
No.
And that if you happen to sin, it's no big deal because grace covers it all.
No.
Isn't that what he's asking?
Right.
Shall we continue in sin?
No.
So that grace will just abound. What's the next phrase?
God forbid.
God forbid. Whatever gave you that idea? Right? How shall we that are what? Dead to sin live any longer? No, you shouldn't just keep living in sin. You should get the revelation that you are actually dead to sin. And so these words you want to get in your mouth. Even if you don't understand it with your head or it doesn't look or feel that way, agree with Him. If He says you're dead to sin, what do you say? Come on, help me out. Say it out loud. I am dead to sin. He goes on to say, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Say it out loud. I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
I don't serve sin.
I don't serve sin.
To be in sin is to serve sin. To be the servant of sin. You'll hear people try to rationalize and reason that, well, no, now we're not under any laws. We're free to do whatever. Yeah, but if you're doing things that the Bible calls sin, you are not in freedom. You are in bondage. Servant of sin. And when he talks about we were, you know, the scripture also talks about we're crucified with Him. And that's what he just got through saying. And identification with Christ means that everything He did was for us as us. And to receive Christ means you identify with Him and everything He did. So that when He was scourged, I was scourged. When He was crucified, I was crucified. Are y'all with me now? When He was raised, I was raised. When He sat down at the right hand of majesty, I'm seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This hasn't been preached enough. People have just talked about the cross and just stayed at the cross and cried about the cross. Jesus is not on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's at the right hand of majesty. Thank God for the cross. But no, you don't stay at the cross. Jesus is not at the cross. I was with Him. He was with me and you. He did it as us. And so everything He did is for us. He goes on to say, he that is dead is freed from sin. So I am dead to sin, I don't serve sin, and I'm free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Him or those in Him. Amen. In that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you felt dead to sin, if you looked dead to sin, you wouldn't need to reckon yourself dead to sin. Faith calls those things that be not yet as though they were. You want to agree with Him. Everybody said out loud, I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
I'm free from sin.
I'm free from sin.
I don't serve sin.
I don't serve sin.
He went on to say, let not sin, in other words, you are not to let sin reign in your mortal body. That means it could, if you don't do something about it, that you should obey it in the lust or the desires thereof, and don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, For you're not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I'm dead to sin.
I don't serve sin.
I'm free from sin.
I'm not under the dominion
of sin.
Now you want to say that, not just on a Sunday morning here with us, but every time it crosses your mind, open your mouth, declare it.
Agree with Him. Now in praying about this series and looking at it, I'm always amazed at how rich the Word is in every aspect. And the Lord, I thought I would be on this just a couple of sessions. And, oh my, this is such a big part of the gospel. And go with me, if you would, to the book of John, the 8th chapter. And the Lord has continued to quicken me and show me things about this that are to me life-changing. And I believe it will be to you too. You believing with me?
Yes.
In John, the 8th chapter, there are verses here that church-going people quote quite frequently, but it's been pulled out of context. And this happens frequently, that folks will grab a verse or half a verse and say it, and maybe there is a truth there, but miss the larger truth of what the context was. And so many times, wrong doctrines would have been prevented if the people had just read the verse that came before it and the verse that came after it. Huh? But in John 8, I want you to notice the context of this. John 8:32. Anybody got this one marked? John 8:32, what does it say? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Is there power in the truth to make you something?
Yes.
And to keep you something. It'll make you
free.
Now, people have used that verse for many, many things, and I'm not saying it doesn't have many applications. It does. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's inexhaustible. But I want to ask and answer this question. Free from what? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free from what? Well, it's not an unreasonable question, because the answer is in the next verses. He goes on to say it. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. So how come you saying you shall be made free? See, they had attitude. And they said, we're already free. What are you talking about, free? We're free already. We Abraham's seed. We are free. What you mean you're going to be made free? Verse 34. Jesus said, verily, verily. Now, every word that came out of His mouth is true. But when He says verily, what should you do? You should say, everybody be quiet. Everybody be quiet. Turn the music up. Is that right? And if He says, verily, verily, you say, shh, don't say a word. I say to you, whoever commits sin, and this is the word committeth, which implies a lifestyle.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Whoever commit, not just commits one time, committeth. You sin and you keep on sinning. Whoever committeth sin is what? So when He's talking about you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, what's He talking about being free from?
Sin.
According to Him, sin. Can you see this?
Yes.
Sin. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You're not free to abuse your body with drunkenness and and drugs and every other thing, that's bondage.
Yeah.
You serve it. Mm-hmm. You're serving the alcohol. You're serving the drug. You're not free to have sex with everybody you can. That's not freedom. It's servanthood. To be tormented with unsatisfied sexual desire. That ain't freedom. That's servitude. Huh? To lie to people and just keep lying to people. To steal things and take things. You're not free to steal. That's in bondage. And tell me, what will make you free from all of that? The truth will make you free. Make you free from lying? Obviously. You start telling the truth instead of lying, right? Make you free from substance abuse? Really? Make you free from sexual perversions? And make you free from stealing? Anything that is sin. And the Bible says that the transgression of the law is sin. It talks about whatever is not of faith is sin. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So anything that is sin, the truth will make you free. Is this good news or is this good news? Huh? So whatever it is that you've been falling in an area, what do you need?
Truth.
You need the truth about that area. And you need to embrace it with everything within your being and never turn it loose.
Amen.
And if you'll do it and be a doer of it, you will be liberated. Because the truth has the power to make you free. Woo! Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And in verse 35, he's still talking about sin. Jesus said, the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Why is he still talking about servanthood? Because whoever lives in sin is serving sin. You are the servant of sin. And if the son therefore shall make you free. Free from what? Sin. You shall be free indeed. As long as you are entangled with any kind of sin, you are not free indeed. You are not completely free. And what's God's will? Totally free. Free indeed. One translation said, unquestionably free. And he said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. See, they thought all that behind doors talk nobody knew about. Because my word has no place in you. Now, his word is truth. John 17, he said this. Thy word is truth. So you could say it like this. Because the truth has no place in you. He said, I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would act like Abraham. You would do what Abraham does. But now you seek to kill me. You're trying to kill me, a man who had just told you the truth, which I heard of God. He said, Abraham didn't act like that. Abraham didn't do that. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we're not born of fornication. We got one father, even God. He said, if God were your father, which means what? He's not. Friend, there are a number of groups that put forth this doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. And that God, we're all God's children. Everybody on the planet. This is a lie. I said, this is a lie.
Yes.
This is not true. There are a lot of people who are children of the devil.
Yes.
Not my words, his words.
Right.
The master's words. Hmm?
Yes.
And the only way to be a child of God is to be born again by believing on Jesus, the head of the church.
Yes.
Elsewise, you are not a child of God. You are not in the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that dies does not go to heaven.
That's right.
That's right.
There are two families.
Yes.
The family of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Child of the devil. I didn't make this up. I'm quoting scripture. That's a phrase from the book of Acts. It's a quote from some things that Jesus said. A child of the devil. And what is he saying to these people? You are of your father. And he's just about to say that. The devil. These are the priests. These are people with degrees in theology. Who have leadership positions in the temple. And yet, they do not know God. Huh? And they are doing the deeds and desires of their spiritual father, the devil, while they are cloaked in religious garb, leading ritual services. Being associated with the church does not make you a child of God. Or a denomination. Or a group. Does not save you. Does not even mean you're in the family of God. And how can you tell who is and who is not? One thing is, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love, love, love the brethren. Were these people displaying any kind of love? No, they're murderous. They want to kill Jesus. Because he's showing them up. No, love. And then another thing that will help identify. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them through the truth. Everybody say truth.
Truth.
Truth. Sanctify means, among other things, separate. The thing that distinguishes us from the world, a big thing, is our love for God, which is love for the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is the Word of truth. And Jesus Himself is the way. The truth. If you don't love the truth, you don't love God. People can be religious without loving truth. You want to love the truth more than you love anything or anybody, including yourself. Somebody said, I thought we were supposed to love God. That's what I just got through saying. He is truth, right? And if the truth shows me up that I messed up, that I did wrong, then so be it. I've got to adapt to the truth, right? But you see, this is the thing that Jesus and these religious leaders are coming to an impasse about. The truth. He said, you hate me? You want to kill me? And all I've done is tell you the truth. This is why Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That's why. He's a martyr. And it's something you and I need to know. The world hates the truth. And they will get murderous. They crucified Jesus. He said in John 7, he said, the world hates me because I testify that its deeds are evil. He wouldn't say that their sin was okay.
Right.
He said it was sin.
Yeah.
He called sin, sin. Right. You want people to get mad at you? Call sin, sin. And it's not our job to go around judging anybody. Huh? But nor are we going to accept and people telling us, well, God don't care about that. This is okay. Anything's okay. Everything's okay. We're just under grace. No, no, no. We're dead to sin. Free from sin. We don't serve sin. And that's the truth. And the truth makes us free. He said, verse 43, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? He said, because you can't hear what I'm saying, can you? You can't hear my word. And then he didn't help the situation. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, he might as well just backhanded him with a wet dish rag. Is that right? I mean, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust or desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he, because he what? He what? Oh, friend, there are giant revelations here today. Are you with me or not?
Yes.
How did the devil become the devil? It's right here. He left the truth. That's how he became what he is today. He was not made Satan. He was not made accuser of the brethren, deceiver of the world. He was created the anointed cherub that covers. He was beautiful. He was full of wisdom. He had a place in the things of God, the Bible said, until iniquity was found in him and he fathered lying. He fathered it. He gendered it. He took the wisdom and brightness and knowledge and the skills and abilities that God gave him and used it for an ungodly thing and twisted truth into lies and left the truth. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. He can't tell the truth.
Nope.
What do you mean? Oh, he'll start out with the truth. But he can't stop talking. He can't shut up. Before he's done, he'll twist it. He'll twist it. There's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that's of God hears God's words. And you don't hear them because you are not of God. These are the guys in the ministerial robes with the degrees in theology. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that's got a theology degree is wrong.
Right, that's true.
But this bunch was wrong.
Right, yeah.
And he said, you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. And the Jews said, didn't we say you're a Samaritan and you have a devil? He said, I have not a devil. I honor my father and you dishonor me. There's so much more to say in this chapter, but can you see they were not agreeing? Some your people say, well, you know, sometimes you got to go along to get along. And sometimes you need to say truth is truth and a lie is a lie.
Yes, sir.
No matter what the response.
Right.
Go with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Free from what?
Sin.
And notice he kept talking about truth and sin. Truth and sin. Sin and lies. Sin and bondage. Servitude. In Genesis, for time's sake, let me see if I can shorten this a little bit. The second chapter, and the seventh verse. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not just a brain, not just a body. There's an unseen, hidden man of the heart inside a physical body. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So prior to this, the man had no knowledge of evil. Did not know what evil was. Had no concept of deception or lying or sin. All he knew was God. And that means all he knew was good. That's all he knew. All he had ever experienced. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Now if you skip down to the let's see. 15th verse. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The Lord said, all these trees, anything you want, much as you want, help yourself, except for this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat of it. If you do, you will surely die. Now, you cannot have true love and true trust unless a person can choose to do otherwise. It can't exist. If God wanted robots, he could have made them. Huh? It's not what he wanted with us. He wanted and wants, and thank God now has, family.
Hallelujah.
Family. And not just children.
Right.
He wants those he can trust to rule with him.
Amen.
In an eternal kingdom that spans the universe. But it's got to be people he trusts. Because the things that are coming up past this life especially, they are too big, they last too long for people that are not really with you. And I think you can see just with the history we have, one of God's biggest challenges that he has had to deal with is the rebellion and defiance of his creation. It happened with angels, and it happened with human beings. And it's a risk you take when you allow people to choose whatever they want. They can love you or they can hate you. They can trust you or they can doubt you. They can obey you or they can rebel against you. And sadly, many of the angels rebelled against him, Satan being foremost. And most of the population on the planet today is in outright rebellion against God. We are in the small minority. I'm talking about the whole Christian church. Even though it's millions, that's not a giant percentage of billions. And so earth and this life, to God, 100 years of human life is a mist. It's a blip. But it's enough time to see those that trust him and those that don't. Those that love him and those that don't. Those that he can count on. That will obey him and those that won't. What is it that all of us want to hear past this life?
Well done.
What?
Good.
What?
Faithful.
What?
Good.
What does faithful mean? Faithful means he could count on us. He could count on us. To what? Love him? Trust him? Obey him? That's what this was about. Why put a knowledge, tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? Why have it there? Because this is going to come up sooner or later. Huh? And God knew. So what? This was a test of their trust and a test of their love. Can you see this? Do you trust him? Or do you listen to somebody else? And the sin was they listened to the devil. Now in the third chapter, verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. The animals must have talked back then, or else they would have screamed and ran away when this serpent started talking. And originally, the serpent was not on its belly. So this was a different creature. But the enemy saw it as his way in. And he used it, the serpent. And he said, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. The Lord said, freely eat anything you want. Help yourself. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Some people have tried to make a big deal out of the touching thing. But how do you know he didn't tell them not to touch it? He had communed with them many, many times. We don't know how long that they fellowship before this happened. I don't know. But is it a good idea? Stay away from the tree. Don't touch a tree. Don't be messing with the tree. Notice this. The Lord pointed this out to me just a day or so ago. He said, Keith, before there was a sin, there was a lie. That's revelation. I didn't think that up. Before there was a sin, there was a lie. What did Jesus say? You'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And specifically what he's talking about, he said, he that commits sin is the servant of sin. He's talking about free from sin. The serpent said what? What did God say? In the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. That's what God said. Truth or not?
Truth.
Come on, help me out.
Truth,
truth or not?
Truth.
To be analyzed, dissected, reasoned, to be believed.
Yes.
And trusted.
Yes.
And obeyed.
Yes.
Is that too much to ask?
No.
You create a solar system, a galaxy. You put a planet in the perfect place. Not too cold. Not too hot. You create the most beautiful, the most amazing oceans, mountains, trees, flowers, animals, all for your man. And you make a being that looks like you. And has abilities like you. So much till the angels are standing back going, whoa. What is this? What is man? Woo. Is it too much to ask?
No.
Trust me. Trust me. Had he ever done anything to make them question his love for them or his plan for them?
No.
You got to remember how close they are to the dawn of creation. I reckon Adam walked by the shallow scooped out place where God got the dust and dirt to make his body. And you didn't exist. They weren't born babies.
Right.
Nope. And grew up.
No.
God created them. Fully formed. Fully developed. And even came down personally. Hung out with them. Talked to them. Shared with them. Answered their questions. Is it too much to ask?
No.
Trust me. Trust what I tell you. Obey me. Just one thing. Don't eat of that tree. Because if you do, you will surely die. So what did the devil come back and say? What did he say? Huh? Verse 4, you shall not. Surely die. So he twisted the truth. Can you see this?
Yes, sir.
Upside down. He perverted the truth. God said you will surely die. He said you won't surely die. But that's not the end of it. That's not, no sin has happened yet. What's the issue now? Who do you believe? Huh? Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who do you love? Who is this serpent? Where is this coming from? What influence is going on here? Everything about this would have felt wrong.
Right?
Right? Everything about this. Adam and Eve are not dummies. They are brilliant. They would have been beyond genius level. No limitations. No restrictions. No damage of any kind. And the Bible says Eve believed the lie. She believed it. Scripture says she was deceived. She even said, when God questioned them, she said, the serpent beguiled me. So she believed the lie. That's what deception is, believing that a lie is true. Adam was not deceived. Maybe that's worse. He just chose to go along with the lie, knowing. Now, we're not here to judge Adam and Eve, because we've all done the same thing. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means all of us chose a lie over the truth. And if you choose a lie, you will be, your understanding will be darkened. And you'll immediately be dulled down. And if you know the truth, but don't choose to walk in the light, the Bible said if you're not a doer of the word, what's the result? Self-deceived. You deceive yourself. Self-deluded. It is a dangerous thing to toy with a lie. It's a dangerous thing to not like the truth. Huh? No, everybody likes to think, well, hey, you know, everybody wants to know the truth. No, they don't. No, they don't. The world does not want to hear the truth. They despise the truth. They hate the truth. But we are not of the world. We love the truth. Somebody say, I love the truth. I love the truth. And we hold to the truth. The Lord said to me, before there was sin, there was a lie. And they chose the lie and acted on it, and that was the sin. If they had held on to the truth. Oh, come on, can you see this? If they had held on to the truth, it would have made them free. Free from the effects of all that was going to follow. Go to Romans, the first chapter, please. Romans chapter 1. Oh, man, our time's up. You got time? You need to hear this before we go. And we won't be done at that, but maybe you can come back. I'm convinced of this. I'm free from sin. I'm dead to sin. I don't serve sin. And the truth makes me free. In Romans, the first chapter. Now, you remember our text is in Romans, the sixth chapter. Well, he had said a lot of great things leading up to that. One thing he said in verse 15, Romans 1:15, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the good news to you that are Rome also. Real preachers are always ready to preach the good news. I am any hour of the day. Just let me wake up just a minute and I'll be good to go. It's the power of God. What is? The gospel. The good news is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you know the gospel is also the truth of the gospel? We use that term, gospel truth. Bible phrase is the truth of the gospel. Keep going. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? In the truth. In the truth. We don't just have faith in religion. We have faith in the truth, which is faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in the Word, Faith in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? They hold the truth as not right. Unright would be not right. That word hold could be translated suppress or hold down. The ungodly world is doing everything they can to shut up preachers of truth and to hold down truth, Bible truth, and call truth not right. Call truth not right. So much so that the next four or five verses of this chapter, it's against the law to preach in numerous countries. Some in Europe, some in North America. You can actually go to jail. A preacher can go to jail for preaching these next few verses. Just talked with the pastor recently. He's saying they're having to take out extensive insurance to try to cover them, because if they read anything from the scriptures about sexual sin or about homosexuality or about trans stuff, it's called hate speech. And many of them have been arrested and all kind of fines and everything. This is not in some bizarre remote place. This is in Europe. Some places close by here. Listen to it. Hate speech. The words of God, who is truth, who is love, are called hate. Come on, do you see this? Hate speech. Hate speech. So what have they done? They have rejected the truth and embraced lies. Well, then they are in bondage. And they won't be free. But does that mean we have to be silenced?
No.
Well, you got to be willing to get some persecution. There have been times, and there are still places today, where just having a church service can get you killed. And thankfully, we live in a country. Anybody thankful for the U.S. of A. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our freedom. Thank you. And we need to pray every day about this, that we don't lose, because the enemy, he would do the same thing with us tomorrow if he could. He's been trying to do it. Suppress the truth. Keep reading and you'll see what we're talking about. All the ungodly that hold the truth in unrighteousness. He said, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think they are so smart, but they're actually fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. And God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And they did what? Now notice verse 25. They did what? They changed the truth of God into a lie. That word changed means exchanged. They exchanged one for the other. The truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And a lot of the so-called green emphasis is worship of creation.
Amen.
That's people's religion. And it's based on lies. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. Now, he uses that phrase several times. Gave them up, gave them to it, gave them over to it. Vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Keep going. He's talking about lesbianism. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Is this new?
No.
That God said that's not right?
No.
That's not new. That's in Leviticus. That's in Deuteronomy. Right? There's scriptures that he said that. And the transgression of the law is sin. But are there, there are priests, there are preachers and people in the ministry that preach that that's not right. That try to say, well, no, Paul just had a problem with women. And he was suppressed sexually. And then you don't believe this is the Bible. You don't believe this is truth. You cannot just cast something away if you believe it's truth. Truth. So then something else is preached as truth. No, we're all children of God, and He has made us the way we are. And we can't help the way we are.
Well,
that doesn't agree with this. So which is which? See, what happened with Adam and Eve is not the last time that happened. She's standing out there hearing him describing how good this looks, how good it's going to taste, how can anything that looks so good, taste so good, make you wise, be wrong. Reasoning. Well, how come I have these desires? And how come I'm like this? And how come? See, that's not truth. That's you reasoning. That's you rationalizing. And then just taking the truth and going, I don't want that. I don't like that. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. Then you cannot be free. Because it's the truth. That'll make you free. Huh? Lying is wrong. Don't make excuses for lying. Don't try to justify your lying. They're going to help me finish this or not. Stealing is wrong. Right? Stealing is sin. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to reason it. You know, adultery is not okay. Huh? Fornication is not okay. Homosexuality is not okay. Lesbianism is not okay. Dressing up, a man dressing up as a woman, it's not okay. So what makes you say that? Scriptures. It is written. Scriptures. Now personally, you know, I'm going to live my life. You can do what you want. I'm not going to cuss you. I'm not going to flush you. I'm not going to push something off on you. But don't try to tell me that a lie is true.
Amen.
Don't try to get me to turn loose of truth and embrace your lie. And you'll find that the devil's crowd have no live and let live option. You either agree with us and embrace our lie or we will kill you. Which shows what spirit they're of. Are y'all okay or not? They changed the truth of God into a lie. Down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God, who is truth, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate means rejected. And it involves the principle of sowing and reaping. If you reject God long enough, you will be rejected. If you keep telling Him, leave me alone, Leave me alone. Let me live like I want to live. Leave me alone. You do that long enough, you know what he'll say?
Okay.
Yep. You'll be left alone. And be the worst thing that ever happened to you. He said concerning Ephraim at one point, Ephraim, he said, is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Why? Because you love a lie. And you reject the truth. Keep reading. Being filled with all unrighteousness, which is sin, fornication, sin, wickedness, sin, covetousness, sin, maliciousness, sin, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What is all this? People who have rejected the truth and said, I want your lies. I'm going to believe this. I have my own truth. This is my truth. No, it's a lie. They not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. And the sad thing is, you can never be free doing that. You can get mad at everybody. You can cuss. You can fuss. You can blame everything on everybody else. But you will not be happy. You will not find peace. You will not be free. Because only in the truth can you be free. And the truth is in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the truth shall make you free. And if the Son has made you free, you are really, really free. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands.